T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
With Steelers analyst Arthur Motes in studio, Donald Football producing Chris Muller, Andrew Filippone, working our way through Mike Tomlin's season-ending press conference. He tackled a lot of the big issues that pertain to the Steelers' future today. We have taken what can sometimes be an exhaustive Mike Tomlin press conference where there's a lot of minutiae in there, a lot of things that are inside football that are a little too technical, really sort of niche, where it's like, man, I don't even really, who
is it
cares?
Niche or is it
niche?
Niche.
Niche.
You can go niche, you can go niche. You can go data, you can go data.
Which one do you go for that second one?
Data.
I flip-flop, I ain't gonna lie. I'll say data sometimes, I'll say data sometimes.
I think it's data, because I think the singular is datum.
Do you say Gonzaga or do you say Gonzaga?
I say Gonzaga.
I say Gonzaga.
But I actually say both. Do you say tournament or tournament?
Tournament. Do you say caramel or caramel?
I say
caramel.
Both of those as well.
We're kidding.
I ain't gonna lie. I say both for like everything.
Arthur looks at the English language as a very large blank canvas on which he can write.
You know, people are like, oh, is it soda? Is it pop? Is it soda pop? Is it Coke? I can help you. All of it.
I can help you with the Gonzaga one. Mm. Melinda Roeder in the newsroom. Went to school there. Mm-hmm. She boiled it down to this for me, distilled it to this, and I'm like, you fixed it for me. I'm always going to get it right now. When talking about the team from a fan's perspective, nobody says go Zags. It's go Zags.
Yep.
Gonzaga.
So it's got to be Gonzaga.
That makes perfect sense then, man.
And that was a eureka moment for me in the Gonzaga debate.
That is the truth, though. Yeah, because we say Zags. Yeah.
Yep, the Zags. They're back in the tournament.
Yeah.
I'm just going to start calling them the Zogs.
Look out for the Zogs.
The Zogs are really making some noise this year.
This is the year of the Zogs. All right, Mike Tomlin's greatest hits. Let's listen.
Mike, in terms of the offense again and taking a step back, is that a tricky evaluation when you do have up to 7 new starters, 3 new coaches on that offensive side of the ball this year?
You could seek comfort in those facts and things of that nature, but I won't and I don't. We got to be better than we were. And that's one of the critical reasons why we're sitting here having this end of the year discussion as opposed to me working and planning and getting ready to play this week. And so we got to be better.
Mike,
I always thought that it was going to be a rough year for them offensively, not just because Roethlisberger at 39 is not the quarterback he was at 34, but I always thought it was kind of trying to have it both ways or a mixed message when you bring back Ben. But then everything else is in flux. You know what I mean, Arthur?
No, I do.
Like,
absolutely. It was a lot like that going on, and I do think that...
That's a mixed message to me.
Yeah, but and I do think the results that we got reflected that as well. I mean, when
they were really trying to thread a needle being successful with a young offense, coordinator,
but we came
and
up here and we talked about that. We said, man, you're not committing to either approach. And if you don't commit to either approach, you're going to get caught in the middle. And the middle is going to look average. It's going to look bad at times. And, well,
we
know what the 17 or 18 games
look like. The round table was Nostradamus in this case, Malsy.
I think back to something just with what Arthur's saying, caught in the middle, trying to have it both ways, all that. What is one of the old criticisms, not to bring up this guy's name gratuitously, that we used to have of Neil Huntington?
The bridge.
The Pirates. He just perpetually tried to live with one foot in... I'm keeping stuff for the future.
We want to play competitive games in September.
But he always wanted to straddle that line.
I mean, seriously, when that's your goal, when your goal is let's just hang around in the last month of the season.
And didn't it infuriate people,
especially when
it stopped working? Like, it didn't really hold up for very long, and people got nuts about it because he never changed. I always thought the thing about it, the way they went about their business this year offensively, was just strange in that you know your quarterback can't move.
Right.
His best attributes are his savvy, his knowledge. He should be able to anticipate throws. So then you changed coordinators, which immediately just inherently will throw off some of that savvy. Somebody wants him to learn some new things, and Ben was not shy about what, saying that the terminology was different. You remember that?
Oh, my God.
When you learned a new language and all that other stuff. Yeah.
I got index cards with my daughter, and we're studying.
Class cards. It's like I'm back in school. But then other people would say, no, it's a lot of it's the same. So there was pushback there. His mobility was obviously the big question, the big weakness.
It was even made fun of by Tomlin.
You would think that if you were going to try to reshape your offensive line to protect a very immobile quarterback, you would be more inclined to spend free agent dollars on more. You'd go more the proven commodity who's out there. Like, he's somebody we know because rookies can struggle with all of these things. Instead, they put a rookie at a very important position where you've got to be doing checks some of the time. They didn't really, they shuffled the deck in a lot of other ways, and then they brought in one guy from the outside, really, and said, here. Like, Trey Turner, you're our veteran presence we're adding. They went about it haphazardly.
And getting ready to play this week, and so we got to be better.
Mike, did you get what you had hoped for out of Joe Schobert?
I don't know that I had a hardcore preconceived notion about what to expect from him. He wasn't part of team development. It was a, you know, acquisition of opportunity. You probably have less preconceived notions about those things. I'm appreciative of his efforts. There are aspects of his game, obviously, that I wish were better, but I guess I could have that evaluation tone about most anyone you ask about. But just in terms of anticipation, I don't know that I had a lot of anticipation because the nature of his acquisition was what it was.
Oh, my God. What an unbelievable amount of excuse-making and revisionist history
that is. Yeah, man, I'm not feeling that.
I had no expectations,
right there,
but the second he landed in Pittsburgh, we put the green dot on his helmet.
It made
and
him
said,
a starter.
We're going to have you call plays.
What are we talking about here? Like,
Can you search Tomlin Schobert, and can you go find the actual clip when they acquired him?
Because
it is literally the opposite of what he said
there. The exact opposite. That's why I was making the faces I was making.
All of our faces scrunched up at once.
I know. As soon as you got him here, you put the green dot. Not just the starter. You said the green dot. We know what the green dot means.
And he talked.
That's the quarterback of the defense.
When they got him.
You're not just doing that with no expectations. Come
when they
now.
Got him, Mike Tomlin gave his positive veteran spiel.
Oh, he's like, been there, done that.
Like, absolutely. We're familiar with him because of the division.
I'm paraphrasing here, but he basically said, this guy is a battle-hardened veteran who knows how to communicate the signals. And I remember the discussion specifically being, wow, they must think Devin Bush has not learned the defense well enough if they're immediately putting the dot on Joe
Schobert. Did you like that answer from Tomlin on Schobert? Yeah. You like that answer? Didn't even start him against the Chiefs.
Yeah, football guy just cringed the same way me and Arthur did.
Yeah, I think it was a pretty weak answer on his part, but what are you going to do? Such is life.
Mike, it appeared that J.C. Hassenauer had passed Kendrick Green at center by the end of the season. It also been suggested that Green might be able to move to guard. Where do you see those two guys as you head into the offseason?
I do believe J.C. gave us the best opportunity to win at the latter portions of the season, and that's why we played him. I am optimistic that KG has position flexibility. That's one of the reasons why he was attractive to us. We saw 2020 Illinois tape where he started and played at games at center, and he started and played at games at guard, and that's a component of his resume. But I'm not ready to lay the center work to bed either. We made decisions at the end of the year that gave us the best chance to win based on those circumstances, and there's a myriad of variables in those circumstances, and it might not reflect our plans or our intentions as we push forward into 2022.
Teacher, call on me. All right, two things. One... Arthur, I'm going to make these very quick because I want to let you dive in here, too. One, you only made the decision because Green got injured enough where you could take him out. Because
exactly.
This was, again, a recurring theme we've talked about.
Exactly.
Mike did not want to admit a mistake there. But when he had the guy get dinged up, he could at least say Hassenauer came in. Well, look at us. Oh, Najee ran for 188. We got to keep him in. Yeah. Wally Pipp here. The other thing is, maybe internally, they had some thoughts about position flexibility. They brought him in to play a position he had played the vast minority of his college career had been spent at center.
Was it five starts, they said?
Yeah, it was like 200 snaps maybe?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay? So it wasn't his natural position in college. They brought him in with the specific intent to play that and then plugged him right in basically from day one. Mm-hmm. They didn't even do that for Maurkice Pouncey, who they thought they'd break in as a guard till they realized he was awesome right away.
Yeah.
That is revisionist history again.
everything you said right there, I agree with 100%. I'm even frustrated at the fact that even if you did feel like you could transition this guy to play center, J.C. Hasenauer was on this roster during the offseason. Mm-hmm. J.C. has started games for you last year mm-hmm. when Marquise Pouncey was unavailable to
and
you. So you
Finney
knew
too.
Exactly. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. B.J. Finney as well. So even if you were this optimistic about Kendrick, why wasn't there a competition? Why wasn't there some type of, hey, you know, we do it at left tackle. We had Chooks and Banner yep. battle it out before. Why was there any, that, you know, battle right here? That's the part for me where I'm scratching my head
over it, man. That's such BS. If you honestly thought the guy might stick as a guard, you don't right. put 53 on his back from
no
day
question.
One.
Mm-hmm. Or say he's above reproach, exactly. above competition.
You don't put that kind of pressure on him from day one if you think he might be better off at guard. It just position flexibility never came out of their mouth.
Put him at 73 next time. Yeah.
Position flexibility was not mentioned once by them the day after he got drafted.
Reported a few months ago that you'd prefer not to start over with a rookie, that you'd like to go from Ben to one of those everyday starter types. Have you expressed that?
Yeah, I have not expressed that. I think it's prudent and appropriate to be open to all of the above. There's two core ways you improve your team, as I acknowledge, and that's quarterback position or any position. Or the totality of all the positions. You have to weigh what's available to you in the free agent market and the cost of acquiring it versus what's available to you in the draft and what's the best mix for us. What's the best mix positionally that allows us potentially to put the strongest group on the field, not only in 2022, but just the foreseeable future. Those are just the variables at play. I'm open to all of the above, I guess, succinctly as an answer to your question.
Do you really think he wants a rookie at quarterback next year? If he had his druthers.
I personally don't. I think he wants a veteran guy that
understands
how to work.
Got that from Tomlin. I don't think he got that from somebody else.
Yeah.
No, I don't think I'm not saying he thinks it's beneath him. Obviously, he doesn't. But he did walk into a situation with a guy who was young, but clearly the man and had won a Super Bowl. When that's all you know at the NFL level, mm-hmm. man, you don't want to go through. Like, mm-hmm. look at what Robert Saleh. Now, granted, first-time coach.
That ain't
head coach.
Fun.
Urban Meyer didn't last very long. Like, it sucks when you have a guy, especially mm-hmm. if you think your team around him is good enough to win, and that guy is pretty obviously through growing pains costing you games. You think Mike Tomlin wants to suffer that BS?
I don't know. I have visions of the 2020 Patriots with Cam Newton and Brian Hoyer and those guys at quarterback for the Steelers next year, where it's like, we'll put off the quarterback thing for a year. We'll try to put a Band-Aid on it. And there's
But we also got to remember, they also had the COVID opt-outs. So that did make their roster look a lot more worse.
Wasn't
than
Hightower
it was.
One of the guys?
Yeah, it was like
13,
14
guys. Like brains
yeah.
on the field.
But I'm saying more about the quarterback position that, you know, for
well,
a year,
the
they
one,
suck it up.
The one upshot to that is, I will say, and this isn't meant to be sacrilege because this is Kenny Pickett's show of record. You know, he was a Heisman finalist because I think of this show, clearly.
Agreed.
Next year's crop, though, in 2023, the guys who are going to be draft eligible is, by my understanding and reading, universally regarded as better mm-hmm. than this one.
Yes, yep. it is.
Are you suggesting that you're satisfied with the Matt Canada, quote, offense conceptually, that it was a matter of personnel not being able to execute it? Or was this his offense just not a good fit?
I'm not expressing satisfaction with any component of it, acknowledging that, you know, he brings things to the table that are attractive and we need to be better, and we will be. That's a component of it as well. But I'm not acknowledging satisfaction with any component of what it is that we've done as I sit here today.
I'm trying to figure out what it is that's attractive. What
did
he bring to the
satisfaction? Why is he attractive? Why
what did he bring to the table that was attractive?
Everything sucked. I'm really excited about it.
You're right, because we don't hear him speak on those qualities that have him excited. Like, we just want to know. Share with the class. Maybe we would get excited as well.
Trust me.
He has sources.
It's a lot of
sources.
When you really, really break it down, Pony, but when you parse what he says, man, a lot of it does not hold up to even, like, the
there's
most basic
There's a lot of attractive
scrutiny.
Stuff that he brought to the table. Okay, but there's no way, like, there's nothing empirical that suggests that.
Yeah.
You didn't like what you saw, but you still like what you could see.
Because clearly it has to be one of those intangible things that we can't just physically point to. So just share that intangible thing with us.
Ugh. Like, has Matt Canada had a conversation behind closed doors with Mike Tomlin, where it's just the two of them, and Matt goes, hey, look, these are my actual schemes for multiple reasons, quarterback, line, etc. I can't run them, but this is what I want to do. And Tomlin is so freaking blown away, he thinks he's like around a savant. I doubt it.
But think about this. They hired Canada before they officially brought Ben back. And he was on the staff last year.
But no. You knew Ben was on the roster, though. It wasn't as if Ben was a free agent. We just knew that they were going to have to make a decision on Ben. But he was always a part of the equation. That's the only part right there. I saw what you were trying to go, but he was on the roster. He was
a part
of that equation.
So you think if Canada said, it's not going to work with Ben next year, Tomlin would have said, tough. Too bad. We got to deal with it anyways.
I don't think
that's out of the realm of possibility.
I was about to say, yeah. Okay. From personal experience, I don't see why that wouldn't be the case.
Pretty plausible.
Yeah.
Rell Edmonds was a guy you chose not to pick up his fifth-year option last year. How would you evaluate his season?
He did some really nice things this year. I think the first thing you think about when you think about Terrell Edmonds is availability, and I never want to underscore that. This is a guy that's been ridiculously available to us not only this year, but over the course of his career. He was a 1,000-snap defender as a rookie, and I think that oftentimes we don't talk enough about availability, productivity, and things. Obviously, he did some good things there. It's free agency for us, free agency for them. But I am appreciative of what he's done here, and particularly his ability to be available.
Okay, so Tomlin's hammering perfect attendance from Edmonds as his best trait. You think he's back next year?
I wanted to be back. Personally.
Does that answer though make you think that they feel the same way?
They're going to try to get him back at the right price.
Exactly.
Is my suspicion.
That's what I was hearing. So if somebody we're gonna speak highly of you, but not too highly. We're gonna let you know that we're interested in you, but not too interested.
We're gonna show mutual respect to the process. And if somebody goes out there and says 5 years, $35 million, God bless you.
We're gonna let you leave. Yeah.
Have a great day.
I think it's that simple.
$20 million guaranteed for you, but if you're willing to play for 3 years, 22, and
if you'll play anywhere between 4 and 6 per year, we could do business.
That's
with
why
you.
I think Edmonds will go into free agency. I don't think he'll sign a deal with them beforehand because they've already paid him like a first round pick. I think it's not like a fourth round pick who's ready to cash in for the first. Yeah. I mean, I think they've already set, I think, a certain expectation for Edmonds based on where they drafted him.
Yeah.
As to how he should be paid.
I will say too that if he's gone, I maybe was a little too harsh about him. I was trying to think, like, have I been unfair to the guy? And you made a compelling argument. It's some of the people around him. He's like a piece, but he's not like one of your true difference makers.
Because I think about him versus Sean Davis. I think about him versus Morgan Burnett.
He's better than those guys.
But those
clearly.
Were the guys
no,
that
I
were
know.
Here prior to that we invested either
I
higher
just
draft capital
in the third
or,
round.
Fair enough. But just based on the guys that Sean Davis, the second round draft pick, Morgan Burnett, they paid nicely to come over here in free agency. Yep. It's like the other alternatives that we've had.
No, you're right. They weren't
like,
as good.
Yeah, he has been the best option.
What I will say quickly, though, is if he does leave in free agency, I'm not going to be, like, crushed by any stretch of the imagination because I don't think that you can't just – you can walk out and maybe find somebody who slots in and can do a lot of the things he can do.
That's where I disagree. I think if Edmonds leaves, now you have to address that position with one of your top three draft picks. That becomes a bigger need.
Like, have you had discussions with Tyson or Tuitt about their interest or their ability or their plan to return next season?
I have not. I'm just at the very beginning stages of exit interviews, and really I put the young guys oftentimes at the front of the line.
I think Tuitt's done. I think that it's just...
Do you think like things soured between he and the organization because
of
the
salary? Or you think like done like just
mentally
retirement.
He's just...
I just don't
not
think I don't think he's
right
yeah
now.
I mean I think for very grave serious reasons he's just not completely invested in football, and I don't think the Steelers can afford to tie up cap space or a lot of money to someone who's dealing with that stuff. That's
so
all.
So my question to you is this: if that is the sentiment from the Steelers,
yep,
and they say, you know, we got to make a tough decision with you,
yeah,
but then Tuitt turns around and he goes and plays somewhere next season,
I think you
got to
live with that. And
okay,
that's
what I was checking.
It could come back to haunt you, but I think you got to
okay.
I think you got to deal with that.
If he went and played somewhere next season, though, man, I would wonder, my only regret would be, I wouldn't hold it against them or him, but on some level, I guess I would. With them, I'd say, how did you not manage to get to that point knowing what his plans were? Like, how did he go away from here and then suddenly find clarity that he hadn't yet found here?
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
A little bit of what he wanted to do because the personnel available to him, the younger guys?
I think when you've got red paint, you paint your barn red. And I think that that not only transpires in season, but it transpires at every component of the journey. We went into the season understanding that we had new and oftentimes new and young people that comprise significant components of that unit. So obviously those discussions were ongoing, not only at certain points of the year, but at the outset.
Mike Tomlin, more on Matt Canada, saying the offense really had to stay basic. You had to use red paint because
it's the only paint he had.
Would
man.
You say that we probably need to sub in a different color?
What about some yellow paint?
No, we know.
Gold.
Make the joke, Malzie.
Purple.
More like brown paint because they were playing like doo-doo.
Oh, you would want to bring your Cleveland paint over here.
Malzie,
you keep your Cleveland paint in Cleveland, you Cleveland guy.
That's Come Clean brought to you by Get Going in great detail. Chris Muller there.
Said doo-doo multiple times on the show in the last like week or so. I got to figure that one out.
You don't have another term for crap that you want to use?
Crap seems so...
What?
Crap?
Crass?
Yeah. You say doo-doo enough. And it's kind of funny. Yeah.
You think you get a laugh from certain segments of the audience when you say doo-doo?
Like, haha, he said doo-doo.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he said a funny.
Listening back to some of Tomlin's greatest hits from today's season-ending press conference.
Do you look forward to finding that next or the opportunity to find that next franchise quarterback?
I'm excited about that challenge. Those of us that are competitors are. It's a challenge, man. It makes you uneasy. But I've learned to run to those challenges. I've learned to appreciate those challenges. The uncertainty surrounding them is inspiring to me in terms of producing work.
That is a very, I think, interesting concept when evaluating the 2021 Steelers. Is there a strong feeling inside over there that they were held back by Ben because of how old he was, what he had left, but also what he had meant to the organization? So you have to be sensitive of that. You have to respect that. And now that he's gone, it's like, oh, like we can exhale a little bit.
That's how I feel. And I know they're going to be struggling most likely for a while. But like I've said this a million times to you specifically, Pony. I want to see struggling and different. Like I might not see good football for a year or two.
New issues, though. Let me get new issues.
Yeah, I just want something different than knowing like from the last 6 weeks of last year. Like,
because I think Tomlin could have answered that question differently. I think he could have said, what do you mean? Ben Roethlisberger was so good for so long. I'm not looking forward to life without him. He's a Hall of Famer. He's a Gold Jacket guy.
Well, I took it in a different direction route. Even than that, though, Arthur. If he's so excited for the challenge, why did they wait 1 year longer than a lot of people
should? That was where I kind of went.
That's where my brain went.
I felt like, you know, you're trying to oversell it a little bit. being a guy who's been a part of multiple searches for franchise quarterbacks, I don't think anyone is eager for that, except a guy who has never had to experience that. That sounded like a guy's never had to experience that. So this is going to
and
be
you
a
did.
New.
You played in Buffalo,
multiple, even in Arizona that last year. Don't forget that. That was the whole Rosen and Sam Bradford.
What is up with the strength coach in Arizona?
Oh, you talking about Buddy?
What is the deal with this dude?
Buddy is cool though, man. But Buddy is. Listen,
he used to be pit strength coach back in the day.
So he knows a lot of the guys that are still over here. Garrett Guimont, who's still been the strength coach, Marcel Pastor. Yeah, Buddy's an awesome dude, but Buddy is different. Buddy doesn't wear shoes. He's like the weirdest
dude.
Wait,
what do you mean he doesn't wear shoes?
No, like he doesn't wear shoes. Like he walks around barefoot all the time with that cutoff that y'all saw in the video. Like, yeah, that's him like every day.
Is it one of those lifting things where he's like, you shouldn't be doing Olympic lifts in shoes, your feet are your best base?
I'm sure part of it is that. Then I know he said, because I'm the guy, of course, I'm always going to ask questions. And I was like, yo, Buddy, like, why do you like showing your feet? Like, is that like your thing? And he was like, well, you know, sometimes shoes hurt my feet, so I don't want to deal with that either. And I'm like, what if you're in a weight room. We talk
gross
about safety.
Floor, yeah.
What if a weight just dropped on your foot?
Well, you know, I've never had to worry about that, Arthur. And I'm like, oh, all right, we'll see. But that's Buddy, though. Buddy is cool, though. I like Buddy, man. But,
imagine Rex Ryan just shows up at the Cardinals facility, breaks through the wall. I want to work with this guy.
Like, seriously, we saw, he's like, yo, bro, like, you don't put shoes on at all? Like, ever?
It looks like he had the Cardinals make special cutoff sleeved shirts for him. And he's got those old-school Popeye-armed guns.
And you see the tattoos
with
on
the tattoos.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, The Rock was talking about him last night on the Manning cast.
You don't mess with that guy.
No, not Buddy. Nah.
Donnie, he looks like a guy that you would look up to.
He kind of gives me Bill Goldberg vibes.
Like the retired version of Goldberg, yeah.
Just don't mess with this guy. He's a badass. Yeah. He also doesn't wear shoes, but he's a badass.
See, I always said Buddy reminded me of a Breaking Bad. It was an old the
I know you're talking.
You know,
about.
Yeah, it's like the
Mike Ehrmantraut.
That guy, yes,
that's
who reminds
me. That
guy
was awesome.
That's funny.
When you're meeting with players, particularly leadership, to what degree is the suggestion box open?
The size of the suggestion box depends on who I'm talking to. Some people have earned the right to share perspective. Some people have been around long enough to have real perspective and understand and were components of building the culture and things that we value. And so those opinions are weighted more heavily, obviously. And so it's really handled on an individual basis. And, man, I'm information gathering. I'm learning in these meetings, and I do just as much or more listening as I do talking now. Talking is a component of it because if you sit in my seat, I think it's very important that you give a guy something from an evaluation standpoint, some perspective based on your perceptions of what it is that they've done or didn't do, and to provide some clarity in terms of how they move forward as individuals. And there's some information being given by me, but equally as important to me is the information I receive and my openness to it.
So what would be a typical Arthur Motes Steelers exit meeting? Take us through what
that's individualized
like.
The one-on-one, right?
Yep.
For me, let's see.
Would you feel in that situation? I mean, you obviously respected Walter Payton Award nominee. Like, obviously, the organization thought very highly of you. Would Tomlin allow for you to put some things in the suggestion box, as he said there?
Yes, he would. But for me, it's different in the sense of, like, I think he's referring to some, like, certain guys on the team, they feel like, hey, I have suggestions of why we can be better. I never really cared to that extent of, oh, let me give you my big vision of what we need to change and stuff like that. When we would have our conversation, it was more about me in particular and about my role, my play, whether
they
it was
speak
contract
in plain English.
Sometimes, yes. Sometimes. And then was other times he's gonna give you the Tomlinism. I'm looking at him like, coach, I love you. I respect you, but don't talk to me like I'm a media guy, man. Just tell me, like, directly what
you
mean.
Oh, you said that too.
No, I have said that before. Yeah, I have said that. But it wasn't year one saying that.
Yeah, of course.
We're talking, you know, by the time I'm 8-9 year veteran, it's like, yeah, I'm respected. I'm 30 years old. I got kids. Like, yeah,
tell
I'm going
to be straight.
Exactly. So when you get to there, it's different. But I'm not going to act like in 2014, you know, we were just sharing information. I'm over here. Hey, coach, you know, we need to do this all season. Resign me, bring this guy back. Like, that
were
wasn't
they
the
long
case.
Conversations? Were they casual? Like, what's
No. Some of them were longer than others. Put it like this. 14 was a lot longer than 17. Both contract years, but 14, they wanted me to come back. So they were already trying to get ahead of that in terms of just some of the overselling. Hey, man, I think your role could be like this. We know you did this already. We're going to add this, and that, and that, and that. Whereas in 17, it was, hey, you know, TJ came in, played really well, but he's playing really well. You know, I think for you, you got a family. It's all about, you know, money at this time. So make sure you go out there and get the best deal that you could get. And that's kind of where he left. And I'm like, all right, I know what's going on here. And that's why I look, I'm like, coach, you ain't got to give me that. Like, we know what this was when I was on the active roster and y'all guaranteed that money this year for me. I took that as the nice gesture. I'm going to hug you and it's all love. But we know what this meant when you brought those guys in.
Uh-huh.
But in 2014, that conversation didn't go like that. In 2014, gotcha. He didn't tell me he was about to draft, you know, another linebacker that same, you know, year after you signed the deal. It was like none of that. It was, hey, man, this is going to be good. Everything's going to work out.
You know what?
Like, yeah,
honestly,
when you said, hey, coach, I know what this means.
Yeah.
What did he say back?
He just kind of chuckled. It's like,
you know what I gleaned from that, though, the 2014 conversation Arthur is talking about?
Mm.
It gives, I hope our listeners can hear this. Like, I can understand a little bit more how the Melvin Ingram thing happened.
Exactly. And that's why when we would come up here and I would talk about it, I was like,
I don't fault Melvin because I was Melvin, and not to the same extent of money and expectations, but where you're told one thing and you believe it, you want to believe it, and you feel like, hey, everything is working out that way, but for various reasons, it changes. For Melvin, it started one way and it was good for him, really good, and then it shifted. For me, it was the opposite. I hated it here the first 2 weeks because I had six total snaps and I'm told I'm going to be a part of a rotation.
Yeah.
And it took Jarvis getting hurt for me to get that opportunity. Once I got the opportunity, things changed. And then from there, it was like, yeah, I would love to stay here. I would love to sign back. But the first couple weeks, it was the exact opposite of that. So when I'm listening to Melvin, I'm like, well, yeah, Melvin, at the beginning, you was playing a lot. Everything was going well. And then it shifted. Yeah, I know why you were pissed. I, too, was pissed before. I know why you look like that. I, too, used to look like that. Difference was, I just didn't say it publicly. Worse for him, like, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and communicate this with the higher-ups and go about it the way he did. But, yeah, that is a normal thing, man.
Had two guys coming back from ACLs this year in Bush and Banner. How do you weigh, you know, that recovery with their performance this year?
Those decisions aren't made in a vacuum when you talking about, you know, fifth-year options and things of that nature. There's a global component to it in terms of the rest of the squad. I'm appreciative of the efforts of both guys. It was not an easy process for either guy. We would have liked it to be more fluid. They would have liked it to be more fluid, to produce more consistent fluid productivity and availability. And that's often the case when you deal with major knee injury. It's not always fluid. You like to hope that it is. It's not always the case. And I think it's acceptable to say that, you know, we expect 2022 to be significantly better for most. I think most statistical data and things that I can reference, experiences that I can reference, that is the case as well. 2021 was what it was for those guys. I think we should all look and can look optimistically in that regard toward 2022.
Yep. Does that make you think that Bush is going to get the fifth year option?
Man, I mean, obviously that's where my brain was going, that whole answer.
By saying there's other things to take into account.
Correct. That makes me think, yes. To answer your question, yes. To use the Jeff Hathorn, he can hint at little things to you. It makes me think two things. That Bush is going to get his option picked up. Partly, by the way, because they just do not want to admit that mistake and they're willing to roll the dice. Arthur's smiling here. The other thing I glean from that, I know this isn't the direction you wanted to necessarily go, Pony. I think that means that maybe with Zach, it wasn't like this confounding, why isn't he playing, that maybe his knee was genuinely never like up to snuff, and they were doing him, trying to do him a favor or do him a solid.
But the first part of the answer, if I just stopped it there, we have to think of the roster globally before the fifth year option. That would have made me think, no,
I would agree
he's
with
not going to get it. But then he went into excuse making with the knee.
And remember, he
That's
never had
That's the part
any-
for me where it's like, in that answer, you can hear both sides of it. I'm like, okay, are you going to make the tough decision or are you going to seek comfort?
I think he's going to give him the fifth year option.
I was leaning towards the fifth year. Now, the biggest question to me is just in terms of his value. Where do we fall with that as the roster is currently constructed? If you don't pick up the option, now you're potentially saying that, you know what, he's going to be another hole that we're going to need to address within, you know,
two years.
Yeah, within the super soon future. So that's just another thing you could be creating. Or if you're Coach Tomlin, you say, you know what? I believe that Devin is going to come back to looking more like year one Devin versus what we've seen this year. If he truly believes that, then
it sounds like he might.
That's the part I'm a little leery about.
Yeah, me too.
Mike, you have two free agents at cornerback, you know, Joe and Akello. Would you like to have at least one of those guys back?
When you're dealing with free agency, it's free agency for us, it's free agency for them. I'm sure they're weighing what's best for them. We need to weigh what's best for us, and oftentimes that includes them and the field. And the draft component, there's a lot of significant discussions and plans that need to be had regarding personnel and our moves regarding them. I value both guys. I'm open to doing business with both guys, but boy, there's a lot of layers in that discussion that involve them and their position, and also people in positions outside of them.
Hayden tweeted earlier today, don't close the door on me yet. So he's still weighing his options. I think that given how corner is such an important position and valued position, I think someone will pay him a premium for 1 or 2 years. So I would guess he's not back. I think he'll go to the highest bidder, and I think that they'll...
Do you think it has to be the highest bidder or a combination of high, very high bidder and competitive situation?
I'll put it this way. I think in this analogy that I'm going to use, Hayden is Mike Wallace and Witherspoon is AB when he was young. I think Hayden will price himself out of Pittsburgh, and I think they'll do a kind of, middle deal with Witherspoon where he's not quite paid like a number one corner, but also not paid like a depth corner either. They're going to try to find that sweet spot.
I guess my question, though, if you're a team not named the Pittsburgh Steelers, which of those two guys would you be willing to pay? Because I could easily see where a team would say they would want to go with Akello because of the youth, because of how he finished the season with the interceptions. And we know with Joe, you know.
Gets injured.
Yeah, and, you know,
and
it
Pringle
wasn't,
burned him in the
I was about to say,
playoff game, too, pretty
wasn't
bad.
Wasn't the best performance. I love Joe. Joe's my guy. I don't want to do that, but, he, you know, he ain't had the best performance down the stretch.
I think the days – I think, like, if we were having this conversation 20 years ago, don't laugh, and you still have owners that are trying to collect baseball cards, mm-hmm. like Daniel Snyder
yes.
did.
Yeah.
Bruce Smith, Deion uh-huh. Sanders.
They would go with the Joe.
I think there'd be a lot more Joe Hayden interest, right. but I think ultimately a lot of teams have gotten progressively more wise yeah. about how they do these deals.
Yeah.
So I'd say Witherspoon.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.